40. That God gave me this verse 2009 before I began this ministry. And this is for you today. Some of you that needs to hear what God is saying to you today. He says, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten you. I am with you. And the verse is starts from 25, verse 25. I'm going to read all the way to 31st. So it says, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heaven. Who created all this? He who bring out the stray host one by one and calls them each by name because of his glory, power, and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives the strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. I'm going to read it again. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not go what? Weary. They will walk and what? Amen. Have a seat, please. And I didn't know you changed the name of your church, but this morning when I was praying for you, Pastor Jerry, the change was coming to me. A shift. And I didn't know, I just found out, and maybe that's what it was. But the Lord says, he is so pleased with you and your ministry. You have done amazing, amazing kingdom work. And God, I just saw the biggest smile on his face of what you have done. And then again said, don't go weary. But in a time of this change, God is going to do amazing things. There is a shift. I saw a shift. I saw a change. I really saw the shift. And the shift is good. It's all good. It's God is upgrading. Amen. We are in a season and a time God is upgrading his church. And as you walk out, you're going to pick up one of our brochures. And that's what our brochure is all about. That is the message of 2017. And God, in my dream, three times he repeated 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy. And when I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I read the entire 4 chapters of 2 Timothy, and the Lord said, in the midst of all this chaos and all these trials and tribulation, personally, nationally, globally, God says, know that I am doing something so amazing. I am about to upgrade my church personally, nationally, and globally. But the upgrade comes with what? With update. So if we want to get to the upgrade and walk into the upgrade of God, then you must update. The system that you lived in, your mind system, the way you live your life, the way you have so far done a lot of stuff, but God wants you to updated according to His plan in your life, then you will be upgraded. So remember, wherever you are right now, don't be discouraged, disappointed, or weary or tired. God is in a business upgrading you. Get hold of Him right now and see what is it that needs to be updated in your life in order to be upgraded. Amen? Okay, I'm done. So there are more. Can I go home now? Okay. There are more things God had revealed to me. I'm going to leave it to the end of the service that I will be able to minister and in prayers. I don't want to say it right now. So as Pastor Jerry introduced me, I am a former Muslim. And then in 1977, God brought us to here because my husband wanted to go to school to be a mechanical engineer. And he ended up graduating from Sac State with a 4.0 GPA with his mechanical engineering degree. And he has a very successful business right now. And I'm not going to say the name of the business because I'm not here to advertise about our businesses. But when we arrived, my husband, he never was a religious person, but I was raised in a very, not radical, but fundamental Muslim family back in Iran. I was 21 years old that we left Iran. So don't try to figure out my age because I'm 61. Okay. So we came to United States. We arrived in Oklahoma City. So when we moved to Sacramento, my clients will ask me, "Hey, you got an accent. Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Oklahoma." That's my Okie's accent. And they look at me, "Yeah, right." So anyway, but we lived in Oklahoma for 2 years. But when we arrived in Oklahoma, Shah was still in Iran. And that was 1977. And Shah was overthrown by almost 1979. And Khomeini's regime got in, and we don't want to get into politics and politicians, but it was all behind that whole movement. There was politics going on. Khomeini was exiled for 15 years back in Nabuni in Iraq, and it was reserved for that time because obviously all the superpower like USA, the CIA, the France, and mostly British government and Russia had so much power over Iran because of the resources, because of the oil. So they kept Shah until they knew Shah no longer can be in power. So that's why they kept Khomeini. And they one day we opened our eyes and Khomeini was walking down in a Champs-Élysées in France. Someone that had no knowledge of politics, no knowledge of anything. He was just the one religious guy. So the guy comes in and he killed million to turn the country into Islamic country. Our country was not an Islamic country. The culture of Iran, it goes back to the time of King Cyrus. And our nation is the Aryan nation. That's what you see today. It has nothing to do with the Persian culture and with the history of Iran. Nothing. This is just Islam and Islamic agenda that came through Khomeini. And now the rest of it, it's like a 10-day seminar to say why Islam is growing like crazy right now. So we're not going to get into that. But anyway, as a Muslim woman, I'm speaking for myself, then because of my identity crisis, I joined a communist group in Oklahoma City. They were all college students. And communism was growing in Iran because of Russia. And so that's why British government and CIA, they brought Khomeini. Because always history has shown when they want to oppress a nation, they always use religion. And religion always played a great role in oppressing nations. It goes back even to the Crusade time. So always that superpower used religion to oppress nation. So anyway, I joined this group and I found myself in a doctrine of Marxism at the time because my problem was equality. between man and woman. I had so much issue about that and angry about that. So I said, well, I found a doctrine that says I'm equal with man. So I can just get out there and like these crazy feminists that are out in our street right now. And I just want to go grab them. It's like, oh yeah, I used to be like you. So, and that's what happens when we don't know who really truly we are. And we can be lost like this. So anyway, I found myself in that doctrine and I really became a radical communist. And not communist because I really didn't much know about the politics or communism, but I just became atheist. I should say this. I hated God with every cell in my body. My agenda every day from morning until night was I wanted to find a way to tell people there is no God. And if anybody walked in my home and said anything about God, I would have asked them, get out of my house. You just know nothing. So, and then I radically got involved in all the activities of these groups. We traveled when Shaw came in the time of the Carter came to White House, and we drove 2,500 Iranian from all over U.S. We drove and we were all joined to this communist group. And we were at the White House throwing eggs and tomatoes to Shah and the President of the United States. I mean, not to them, but it was just the park was packed. We were just shouting death to Shah and death to U.S. And then we had picket line going on in San Francisco once a month, and then picket line we had at Sac State once a month, and I was in charge of those picket line. And I went back to Iran, end of 1979, and I distributed a whole bunch of books among the students in the colleges in Iran to let them know about Marxism and to make them to come and hating God and being against God and religion. So that's how active I was until... hostages took place, 1983, and now I have my second child, and then hostages took place. I don't know how many of you remember the time, the hostages. So it was the chaotic time, just like 9/11. And American hated us. They were about to put us in a camp. We couldn't even get out of our home. And our front door was packed with teepees or the trees, they would TP our trees and they would throw beer bottle, eggs. Every day I had to clean the front of my house because of the eggs and beer bottle. And so I couldn't even go to work. And at the time, we were already moved from Oklahoma City to Sacramento. And I was going to, God in divinely had me to get myself enrolled. I say why. In that beauty college, because I went to beauty college in Sacramento, and I had salon for 17 years, which was not a salon. It became a church. So hundreds of people came to Jesus. I mean, I have thousands of testimonies on that. But anyway, in the time of the hostages, the communist regime was able through the families, because that's what Islam is all about. The book of Quran teaches the families that it doesn't matter that person is your sister or your father or your son. If they are against Islam, you got to kill them. And if you kill them, you will go to heaven. So that's why they all are leaders in Iran. They were in the leaders of the communist movement. They found them through their own family. They found them, and they were all executed. So we lost our organization there and here. So now I have no identity. Now I have no place to go. So in that midst of all that, there was a sanction on our banks. And so we get no money because we had money back in Iran, our own money, not government, we were supporting ourselves because we were on a student visa. So, and they put a sanction, so now we're not getting a penny from Iran. So now we're poor. Lost identity, lost our group, no money. And then at the time, I was in a very abusive environment. My husband was not a believer, and he is an amazing man of God right now. But at the time, he was very abusive. So here, I'm in an abusive relationship, and then no money, poor, rejected. We can't even get out of the house. Tempted about 3-4 times to kill myself, and I had gasoline one day all over my head to just blow myself up. And but, you know, all along, God was with us. God was with me. And just like Jeremiah 1:5 says, that I knew you when you were formed in your mother's womb. So even if we don't know him, even if we hate him, he still loves us. You know, that's who our God is, that we cannot comprehend it. That's his love, that we cannot understand it. That's the agape love. And so out of his love and grace, he was with me. He didn't let me to die. And then in the last time I wanted to kill myself, he came to my dream. You can go on our website, because I don't want to take so much time. I have so much material to share. But you can go on a website, and our website, www.ibministry.com, and listen my entire testimony, how God revealed himself in my dream, spoke to me. And then I went to school, and through one of the, not knowing that beauty college, 5 teachers, receptionist, and the supervisor were all Christian. And that school shut down a year after I graduated. And so when I shared my dream with them, this part I have to say, they took me to their office because I heard one of the girls in my dream that when Jesus introduced himself to me through the Holy Spirit, when I went to school and I heard these girls from the other side of the class, they were talking about their church, and I heard name Jesus, and I said, I think they know that guy came to my dream, Jesus, so I'm going to go talk to them. So I went and I sat next to them, and I said, excuse me, can you tell me who Jesus is? And they said, well, what you want to know about Jesus, because they were white American. And the white American, like that baby sitting right there, they didn't like us. So, but they were looking at me like, why you want to know about Jesus? I said, I don't know. This guy came to my dream, and he said, he didn't say anything. He just came out of the water, looking my eyes, smile. But the voice said, he is Jesus. He came to help you. Go to Jesus. And, but I don't know who Jesus is. So now, not knowing, these people are not only Christian, they are Pentecostal Christian. So Jeanette runs to her mom and her, which was the receptionist, and her aunt was a teacher. So she goes and tells them, this woman, she had a dream about our Jesus. And they're like, whoa. And they took me to their office. And Miss Karen, which she was amazing. So they're all having me sit on a chair and laying hand on me. And going, and I'm like, oh my God, these people are crazy. What they're talking about, they were praying over me, not like a normal people. They were praying in tongue. And I had no idea, like, what they were saying. And I'm just starved because the presence of God was there also. And I'm shaking. I just zoom out of the door, run in the back room. Judy followed me and said, Khadijah, wait, wait. I said, no, I don't want to talk to you guys. You guys are crazy. I didn't know that someday I will be one of those crazy ones myself. So Judy had held my shoulder and looked in my eyes and said, Khadijah, that was God. He loves you and we love you too. Khadijah, we have seen you come to school and you find a corner with bruises all over your face. And you cry and cry. But we don't know what's going on with you. But if God came to your dream, then please let us help you. a bird with a broken wing. And that is the story of God's people today. There are so many of God's people with the broken wing all over this world. And sometimes we pass by them and we don't even see them. And that's how our ministry began. After three Iranian churches shut down, the fourth church that we are, God gave birth through a bird with a broken wing. When one day I was shattered in my home because I was not able to walk in my calling that God had called me after I gone to 6 years of BSF and then about 12 years of APEC Bible College and got my degrees. And at the time I had my bachelor degree, but now I graduated with my master. But I was involved in the churches that they said women cannot teach and preach to men and women cannot be pastor. And my first opposition was my own husband. And so, and one day when I was so broken, shattered, I said, that's it. I'm not going to serve God's church anymore. I'm done. Because I think I heard him wrong. And God said, get up. Get outside. I said, I don't want to talk to you right now. He said, I said, okay, well, if you want to talk, why can't you just talk right here? I'm sitting on the couch and I'm pretty comfortable. He said, no, I want you to get out. So he took me out. And then there is a place that God has showed me 12 years ago that I'm going to build my church here. And that's Mount Hazel. God gave me the name Mount Hazel. It's by Folsom Dam off of Hazel Avenue. And he said, that's where I'm going to build my church. And we still go there every third Saturday to pray. And every 9/11, we have regional prayer over there. And all churches joins us to pray for God's broken people, especially in Middle East. So, and God said, I want you to go to Mount Hazel. I said, excuse me, it's 7 o'clock in the evening and it's pretty dark. It's getting dark. But I got out and I started walking, but God just shifted me towards the Mount Hazel. And as I got to the bottom of Mount Hazel, God, in the middle of all that area, God brought my eyes to see a bird with a broken wing. I went forward. The bird is not flying away. I went bent down and I picked up the bird. Until that moment, which it was 45 minutes walk, I heard not one word. And then when I picked up the bird, laid on my chest, and I said, oh, you haven't said anything, so I'm going back home. So I said, if you think I'm going to go on top of that mountain, I won't. I'm going home. So as I turned around and I came on top of the bridge where the American River underneath, heaven opened up. The Holy Spirit came upon me. I couldn't even move. And he said this. Did you know there was a bird here? I said, no. He said, if I was thinking about this bird, and I brought you out of your pity party to come all the way here because this bird could have died of hunger or being eaten by animals. But I saw my bird and I wanted to restore this bird's wing so she can fly again. If I was thinking about this bird, how much more? I think about you, and I think about all my children. Why you say you've forgotten me? And he gave me this Isaiah 40, 25, 31, which is for all of us today. And that's how he said, this is what I'm doing for such a time as this. I heard the cry of my people. If the enemy is keep killing and destroying and dividing, don't be afraid. In the midst of it, I am doing something so historic, so amazing, as I even greater than I did in a time of Exodus. He said, Every time I bring my people out of captivity is a time when my love and justice collide. And my love and justice is about to collide. And that's how revival takes place. That's how people come out of captivity. That his love for his broken one, for his captive one, and his justice upon the wicked one. And it's, he is exactly, that's what he's doing. And folks, if I'm here, if I have the privilege to be here on this platform, I'm here only for one reason, to unveil the truth. To unveil the truth. And truth about what? What is the truth? So we're going to go to the next slide. What is the truth? To the next slide. When we say truth, the opposite of truth is what? It's lie. Why lie enters into our life? Why? Why we believe lies? Well, yeah, we blame it on Satan, but come on. I mean, the truth and lie both has power. And we sometimes believe lies because we don't want to know the truth. You know why? Because in truth, there is transformation. And most of us are pretty comfortable where we are, and we do not want to be transformed. We do not want to come out of our comfort zone. And in truth, folks, there is a battle. You have to fight the battle. In lies, you don't have to fight anybody. Let's all have party together, baby. Hey. Have you heard about this new church, Charizlam? That Islamic people and Christian people together, they worship Allah and Yahweh. Why? Because it's good. Nobody has to fight anymore. We don't have to speak the truth anymore. It's more comfortable. And where did that all come from? See, we're made of what? We're made of spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Now, the body, it's this shell. It's really, we can't blame so much on our body unless if it's a good shape or a bad shape. You know, and that's your fault too. But now, there is between the spirit, let's not talk about the spirit, soul. What is in our soul? What operates in our soul? You guys are so smart. You're reading it right there. Okay, you're cheating. Okay, I've been at Epic Bible College, so I know what that is all about. So anyway, mind, will, and what? Your emotions. Now, where the lies enter and have power in? It's in our soul. It's all in our soul. It's where your mind plays with your mind, your emotion, and then it becomes your action. Now you're ready to do some crazy thing. Okay? So then, and for you to not to believe the lies, now it's what? It's your spirit must be what? Not your spirit. Your spirit must be married to the Spirit of God. In that marriage covenant that you are able to control this crazy soul. Now, when Jesus said, go save what? Save? Did he say save body? Did he say save a spirit? He said save what? We are fishermen of souls of men. Amen? So then, that means when you bring one person to Christ, that the Holy Spirit dwells in that person, that Holy Spirit, it marries to their spirit, and that's the marriage of the Lamb. It's with our spirit. And that is spirit can control our thoughts. Just like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:3-5, take your thoughts captive and bring it into the light, and don't let be deceived by the lies. So then we go to the next one. And all this corruption started where? Hello? That's where he started it. That's what this quote, now we're going to go to the next one. So here, the soul believes by what? The spirit believes by what? The body believes by what? Okay. So all this in control of who we are. Now, where is the truth? The Spirit of God plus the Word of God equals truth. How many of our Christians today, honestly, I am saying this boldly because God had to convict me so many times in my life. Khadijah, you come to church, you shout hallelujah, you do all this, but you're really not walking in my truth. How many of us today, do you know how many, why our churches are divided right now? Hello? If we know the truth, then why in the world the church is divided? Just look at this past, since December and November, all this election. Look at the chaos going on in our nation, the chaos going on among our churches. Do you know, I can say this comfortably and boldly, do you know how many pastors deleted me from their Facebook? With labels. Because I speak about Islam, and I voted for Donald Trump. If any of you hate Donald Trump, so please don't shoot me, but I, you know, and it's all about not knowing the truth. For cry out loud, we have the Holy Spirit. Then I went into fasting and praying to vote. For voting people, I prayed and fast. And God clearly showed me that this is the man, even the world hates him. Maybe they are against him, but I have appointed him for such a time as this. For such a time as this. We have no idea. If we believe in our true God, if we walk in His truth, then we must surrender it to Him. Even though where there is so much confusion, even we don't maybe understand Donald Trump. I'm not going to speak for Donald Trump right now. I'm sorry. But it is, we must trust God. We must fully trust God and know that God is in control. God has appointed him, and we must honor God and his decision. We cannot vote to us to stand and rise up and bringing divisions and animosity upon God's church. Woe to us. That brings curse upon our family and our church and our nation. We need to surrender it all to God because we don't know what he's up to. But all I know, he's about, just like said to Jeremiah, he's about to root out, tear down the power of the enemy. He's about to root out and tear down the power of the enemy and replant and rebuild what the enemy had ruined, what the enemy had destroyed. God is about in the business of rebuilding. God is in the business of replanting. Are we going to be against that? And who is better than Donald Trump? Hello? The guy is crazy, but God uses crazy people. God always used crazy people like me. Hello? Who would have thought that I become a pastor of a church and is standing here talking to you all? Seriously. Do you see how crazy God is? Now we're going to go to the next slide. Now, somebody out loud read this. Can you read this? Next slide. That is the story of lot of people. Now, let's read this 2 Timothy that God had gave me. But this is kind of the story of people all over the world and right here at home. And those people are right now outraged, out of control, and coming under so many names to say, we have right to do this and that. And don't you dare tell me I cannot do this. Okay? So godlessness in the last day. But understand this, that in the last day there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lover of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Thank you. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of, why don't you all read it? Yeah, just read it. Next slide. Okay. Corruption is not an accident. It is the result of human arrogance, greed, indifference to those who are its victim. So corruption is what? It is crime. It is crime. Let's go to the next one. The corruption in any country is nothing but a sign of selfish people who live there in what? Next slide. Martin Luther King says, nothing in the world is more dangerous than sincere what? And next slide. Now, where is the defining moment? If somebody asks you, what is the defining moment that you will distinguish between what? Truth and lie. That will make your destiny. That will make your destiny. And that will come when God unveils the truth. When He unveils the truth, it is the most crucial time in your life, because it's the bottom line is your decisions at that moment and where you go to find that truth. I brought this here to illustrate. If I held this up, do you know what's underneath this? So I'm going to It's a laptop. This laptop, it represents when God unveils something about a person, about your trials, your tribulations, the crises in the world and your country. Okay? And this laptop, when you open it, what happens after that? It turns on and then you go what? You turn it on and you start going to different sites. See, when I came to United States, God unveiled a truth to me. And when he unveiled in this free, beautiful country of America that he brings millions of people out of captivity and bring them into this land to unveil the truth, not through the world, but through his church. But when God unveiled the truth to me, where did I go? I opened this that laptop, which it was my life, it was my journey, and I went to a wrong site. Where did I go? A communist group. That's where I found my identity. So if you're in that time in your life that God is unveiling the truth, just like I'm here right now today, unveiling some truth to you about all the crises, please go. This laptop you just opened, please go to the right site. Please search in God's sight. Go to the main source. Don't try to find it because some friends or family members or some people. We have some members in our church, they could hardly speak English. All she knows is this. I forgot her words. We always tease her. She says, okay. Already, or she says, well done, I'm good. That's all she knows. I'm serious. I'm not making fun of her. I love her dearly. But one day when I saw her Facebook, she had these posts about Donald Trump and about all these protesters. And she actually inviting people to go to protest. It was a few months ago, to go to San Francisco. And I'm like, are you really serious? You can't even read. You don't know any English. Do you know what this video that you posted or these things that you posted on your Facebook, since when your English became so good? But why she's posting, why she's doing this? It's all because of social media and because of the trend that our nation is in. So because her friends, her family members are talking about all this, so it's cool. So she has to gain some friends. She wants people to love her because she knows if she says anything opposite than that, they're going to hate her like the way they hate me. So then she said, and I said, like, come on, you don't even know what you're posting. So where do we go? Which side do we go? Where do we seek the truth? So here, that is the defining moment. That is your defining moment right now. Right now. If God is unveiling some truth to you, what is your choice? Where are you going to go? To the next slide. Isaiah 11. Let's read all this. Please, let's all read it. Okay, do you know how you know the truth? Now, did you see where the, how? A spirit of the Lord. What is the spirit of the Lord? A spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, a spirit of knowledge. No one, I say this boldly because I was one of the greatest sinner, and still I am, just like Paul said, we are sinners. But I was in the deepest pits of hell in my life when God came to my life. And also, I was so arrogant, ignorant. I mean, I was filled with so much junk, you will fall off your chair if I tell you. But when that spirit comes, that a spirit comes and you give your whole heart, mind, everything to that spirit. There is no way that no one can deceive you. No one can lie to you. No one can separate. Nobody, absolutely nobody, no one can separate you from the truth of God, truth of your life, truth of your destiny, truth of your identity, truth of your calling. Nobody can separate you. For when I started our ministry, my husband said, the church that has a woman as a pastor, that's a club. I'm not going to come to that church. He even miraculously, that I have bazillion testimony how God began our ministry after the bird, that broken wing bird. But how God ended up, we end up at the Oasis Church. And he even, with his pastor, the Iranian pastor, went to Pastor Joel Pappas and said, you need to get these people out of your church. And Pastor Joe Pappas, I love that man. He was like our father. He's like our father. And Joel says, you know what? I usually don't get angry. I'm always really cool, but I'm angry right now, Mohammed. Because you have no idea who your wife is. I prayed. God showed me. And because of God told me, the spirit of truth told him. He said, this is not your wife. This is God's church. And I'm going to stand with them. I'm going to fight for them. And I'm going to support them, Muhammad. Do you see that? Because that one man, he had the spirit of truth. He stood by us 5 years. He gave us a free space. He did not charge us for anything. He was fully supporting us 5 years. After 5 years, just like we have Persian New Year on 25th this month, we had our Persian New Year, 400 showed up. The most prominent pastors were there. Pastor Scott Hagen was there. Pastor Francis Mfiso was there. Pastor Don and Krista Proctor was there. My husband got up. He didn't want to come. For 5 years, he didn't come. I was always alone. But I was with Jesus. He got up on the platform. He said, the Lord just spoke to me. And he said, who are you, Muhammad? All these mighty men and women of God know who your wife is. They're not deceived, but you are deceived. You believed a lie, and you've been operating in that lie. In front of 400 people, he repented. He asked for forgiveness, and he's standing with us today like a warrior. And he's actually preaching in our church right now. But I had to fight the good fight. That didn't come easy, folks. That was my husband. And all I had to do to love him and love him and love him. And I walk me in my identity. I knew who I am. I knew what my calling is. And God is telling you today, do you know who you are? Do you know your calling? And just walk in it. Even the whole world is against you, but I am with you. And God, in his timing, he will change the heart of these people. But in the same time, he's transferring you. He's making you to be more like him. God knew my flaws. He transformed me in that all these years to be more, to love like him, to talk like him, to act like him with people that they don't like me. And that's who our God is. We're going to go to the next slide. So we need the truth. At the same time, you got to get yourself educated. Please, please go get some books. I'm sure your pastors have amazing books in here that you can borrow and go home and study. You can go and research. Get online. Go. There is Michael Frederer. He has many books about and all these Islamic movement. David Wood, you will love this guy. He was our guest speaker last year. And go on a YouTube and Google or YouTube David Wood. Get yourself educated. You don't need me or anybody else tell you what's going on in this world. Get yourself. So the truth of God, which is what? The truth of God is the Spirit of God. Spirit of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Which it will what? With the knowledge, and that becomes what you believe. And when you, whatever you believe, no one can steal it from you. No one. We're going to go to the next slide. So, at this time, God is unveiling. Unveiling the truth. When the unveiling the truth, there are three R's are involved. Revelation, revolution, and restoration. So, when the revelation comes, now you know the truth. When the revelation came to me, as a lost woman, a Muslim woman, when the revelation came, the revolution took place in my life. I went bunko for many years. I went crazy for many years. And now I know I'm not just the woman that I have to wash dishes, and which I do, still I do. But I mean, I was in the process of finding my identity. But in the time until I came to fully walk in my identity, my life went in hell. So in a time of the revolution, the crisis is so crucial. Who you're walking with. Who you're listening to. What are you watching? It is the most crucial, because the revelation is easy. It comes and it reveals. Now, there's a computer here. But what are you going to do with this computer? That is crucial, because that can destroy or rebuild your life. Then at the end, if you did walk the walk, talk the talk, and walk by faith, not by sight, then the restoration come. Now, in this entire time, there are, let's not change it. But when God reveals, the revelation comes, there are the revealing the truth, okay? There are three truths. There are three truths God is unveiling to you. What are these truths? First. Huh? The truth about who? To who God is. The second truth. Now, you know who your God is. Now you know who you are. What about the third one? Huh? Who said that? You were... I'm going to, he's cheating. He was in a meeting yesterday. He was on a, you shouldn't said it. Because I was about to throw this hand to somebody if it said it. Okay. The most crucial truth. A lot of us, we know who God is. We all hear, oh, I know who my God is. We all know who we are, most of us. But do you know where we are failing? We don't know who our enemy is. Do you know why so many marriages are falling apart? Because we don't know who our enemy is. I knew. I've been married to this man for 40, almost 50 years. I could have divorced him. Not divorced him. I could have killed him about 10 times. But do you know what made me to stay with this guy? Because when the Lord Jesus Christ empowered me with his truth, in the spirit of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, I came to realize who my enemy is, not Muhammad. Three times, three organizations, Foursquare, CA, Christian Assembly Evangelical, and the last one was Assembly of God. They wanted to ordain me as their pastor. And Muhammad literally grabbed the forms and threw me in my face. He said, how many times I tell you woman cannot be pastor and I'm not going to sign this paper? And then I went in my room and cried, and God said, Khadijah, I'm using Muhammad. Your battle is not with Muhammad. Your battle is with Khadija. Are you serving me because something in it for you? Why are you serving me? To have a title? It's not about your title, Khadija. It's about your, I want your husband. I want my son to be healed. I want my son to be restored. You got to fight for him first. Before you walk into your, he said, I already gave you everything. But I want my son. I want you to fight for my son. If I didn't have that a spirit of wisdom and understanding and a knowledge, I wouldn't, I say this boldly, I would have divorced my husband long time ago. I went to Christian counselor, and after spending $3,000, he said, divorce your husband. This guy is crazy. But the Holy Spirit said, no. He's my son, and you are the Messiah in that home. I want you to get on that cross and crucify whatever that it's in you for my son. And God said, you're not actually prepared for the position that I called you. Just like Joseph. He had to be prepared for the position. If you have a calling in your life and you feel nothing is happening because God is in the process preparing you for that calling, you're still not ready. So next to the next one. So there are three T involved in a time of revelation. We already talked about that. Let's go to the next one. So that is why it's so crucial for us. For you to acknowledge who your enemy is, you must know the truth and speak the truth and then fight for the truth. For yourself, for your family, for your nation, and all nation. So we're going to go to the next slide. Now, Romans 1:25. Let's all read it. So it says, because... this is what the Bible says. But look at what Quran says. This is the address of the Quran. But look at what Muhammad says in the Quran. It says what? La ilaha illallah. So, who is Allah? Allah is an idol. And if I want to tell you about, I gave you the folder to our amazing Pastor Jerry that talks about Islam and the roots of Islam and how Islam starts. And if any of you that wants to have it, it's by one of our amazing professor at Epic Bible College. He put it together, Professor Charlie William. Anybody wants it, you can get a copy of it and go study it yourself, or you can get online and find out. For me to talk about the whole history of Islam, we need 3-day seminar. But all I'm going to say this, that Muhammad, the God of God of Quran is not the God of Bible. Anybody tells you this, it's a lie. And the God of Allah is the moon god, which you have to go study the moon god. It goes back to Egyptian's god. And he was raised among, he's Arab. And then his wife, Khadija. So now look at this. My husband's name is Muhammad and I'm Khadija. We came back and repent. So, and Khadija was 20 years older and she was a rich widow. So she comes and a time of the Romans Empire. The Romans Empire, they hated Jew and Christian. That Khadija was in a Catholic church. She was part of the Catholic church. So the Romans Empire used her and him to come up with the new ideology. Islam is not even a religion. If you say it's a religion of Islam, it's false. That's the wrong statement. Islam is not a religion, folks. It's an ideology that it's militant and it's what? and politics. It's militant and it's politics. Because Muhammad didn't bring anything. See, when you go study Buddhists or some other, you know, they have some philosophy. But this guy, what did he do? Even my own father, when he came to the United States, God gave him a visa 6 months. He was the leader of a mosque. And he himself said to me, when I read the Quran to him, the Bible to him, he says, wait a minute, Khadija, in your Bible, it's exactly what is in the Quran. I said, so Dad, I'm asking you a question. Moses came first or Muhammad? He said, well, of course, Moses. I said, does God give his law 2 times or 3 times? He gave it once, and that was to Moses. So isn't that tell you that Muhammad stole the Bible, the Torah? And then through his wife with the Catholic Church, stole the New Testament and the Old Testament, put it all together, jumble-mumbled it up, and twisted it and perverted for his own and created his own God. And now people, when they read the Quran, because the law of God is in it. The whole 5 book of Torah. But he turned it and twisted, and he says, oh, Abraham talked about Muhammad. Moses talked about Muhammad. Jesus came on a donkey with Muhammad. Are you serious? Look at lies, lies, lies. And million people are believing these lies. And look at this religion. It's in your home. It's in all over the world. And you're wondering, how could a false religion, a most evil religion, can have so much power all over the world and people can worship this God? Really? Deceptions and lies. Why? Because people don't know the truth. The truth has been taken away. So when I gave the truth to my father, the last night of his life, next day he died. The last night of his life, he opened his heart for Jesus. When I read him the Bible, he goes, you know what? You're right. This is the truth. I want to see Jesus. Next slide. So, according to Ephesians 6:12, when you look at ISIS, when you look at all these radical Muslims that all over the world, especially in Middle East, and they have killed many of our people here in America, who are these people? Are we really our enemy, our terrorists? Our enemy, our ISIS? Folks, do you know this is the truth? Do you know God is calling you to pray for ISIS? God is calling you to pray for these radical Muslims, not to hate them, not to speak against them. Because do you know why? They are as lost as I was when I came from Iran. We must love them. Because the truth, these kids, they've been that guy over there with the black outfit, that he was 9 years old. When he was taken to places that teach them how to hate, how to kill. And somebody, some American friend says, Khadija, how could these people cut people's head and then dancing with it? I said, because it's not them. It's the spirit that it's upon them. So do you see, these people are not operating in their own spirit or their own plan. They are empowered with the demonic spirit that manifested itself through Muhammad and Khadija and Quran and Allah, and it became the spirit of Islam. Islam is the spirit, folks. It's the spirit of Antichrist, and it's coming to kill, to destroy, and to divide. When I went to Iran to visit my family, and by God's plan, because I have a sister in our church that she was part of Hezbollah. And today she's part of our worship team. But do you know, I have another sister that is a part of Hezbollah, and she reported me to the government to kill me. On the last day I was leaving Iran, after 4 months ministry in Iran, hundreds came to Jesus. I distributed Bible all over Iran. And I went to her home. I said, why do you want to kill me? She opened her Quran. Let's go to the next slide. Yes. Okay.
We're going to take a commercial break, okay? I know that you still have several slides left, and I know that we have our children at Children's Ministry. So if any of you need to be dismissed or anything, or I don't know about how much longer.
Probably like 5 more minutes.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, let's do that.
Sorry, it's taking so much time. But anyway, this is what the Quran says. Fight against those who believe in not in Allah, nor in the last day, nor forbid that which has been forbidden by Allah and His Messenger. And those who acknowledge not the religion of truth, which is Islam, they call it truth, among the people of the scripture, Jews and Christians, until they pay the jizya, which is like a taxes, with willing submission and feel themselves subdued. So that is the command. That's what my sister said, that you are a blasphemer and you are a shirk, means unclean, and your blood has to be shed for Allah. So we're going to go to the next slides, and it's talking about, you know, the time, the why these people come, and they are really called by Quran, says to go kill and destroy Christians and the Jew. And if you do, you will go to heaven. That is the spirit that it's upon them. It's not them. We can wipe every terrorist off the earth. We can wipe every radical Muslim. But you cannot wipe the spirit of Islam. Only by the spirit of God. Only by the word of God. And that is what God is unveiling to His church today. Let's go to the next slide. And that says the same thing. It says, fight those who disbelieve, who are near to you, and let them find harshness in you. Let's go to the next slide. And then here, it's talking about how they treat women. And we're going to go to the next slide, which is that's a whole another way that how women are treated as a second-class citizen among the Muslim. And they get in the Quran says, if your wife does not obey you, first abandon her, second beat her up until she believes. There are 75% of women in Afghanistan and Pakistan behind the bar because they were raped, and they said it was your fault that they were raped. And the next slide, and this is the situation that's exactly it's happening right now in Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, folks. Out in the street, they do this. Next slide. And then there was a fire in 2002 in Saudi Arabia. All the girls in the school were burned because they said they cannot leave the school because their head is not covered. They did not. The boys could get out, but the girls couldn't get out. Next slide. This is Iranian woman. That is the true Persian woman, queen. We had king in Iran in a time of King Cyrus. They were women. So, and this is the Shah's wife. So we're going to go forward. These are the refugee forward. This is the situation all over the Middle East. Forward. Another forward. So, and then we're just going to end with this. Just go all the way. Just pass through the, it's just teaching you how to, we don't have time for that. It just teaches you how to reach out to Muslim, how to minister to Muslim, how to love Muslim. That's a whole another teaching. We're going to go all the way to the end of the, wait, go back to this. This was my sister that was in Iran. That's me holding her in the middle. And that's where she was a Hezbollah. And that's who she is today. So here. Folks, we're going to go to the slides, and there are three promises that God is about to fulfill. Jeremiah 9, establishment of his kingdom in Iran, make a highway between Assyrians and Egyptians, and then the next slide. And the last one, the salvation will come to Israel through the Gentiles. And then we're going to end this. That's how we do it, to come together and pray in unity, by the truth of God. Now, God had unveiled it to you today. So now, are you ready to rise up as God's church and speak the truth and fight for the truth for such a time as this? Amen. So the third Saturday we pray, and then the last one is the prayer rally that we have every September 11. Amen. Amen. And then on the way going back outside, you can pick up our brochure that talks about the call of God or a vision of God for 2017. In the middle has the flyer for our Persian New Year. We have two seminars prior to the New Year on a Friday evening, March 24th, and after the event, March 27th, with the guest speaker that he is a pastor. He was a pastor in Iran. He was in prison so many times. So if you want to hear more about Iran and Islam and about the life of this pastor in Iran, you're very welcome to come. The seminars is at Impact Church, but the event is at Capital Christian Center, and it's free. You just come, bring your friends and family, and we hope to see you all there. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this hour. So let's all rise up and just, God, I just ask you to, the truth that it's been unveiled, that you water it with the power of your Holy Spirit and minister to your precious one that are here today. And God, that I just pray for those that they receive the truth today. And God, I just pray, Holy Spirit, empower them with your knowledge, with your understanding, and with your wisdom, that they will fiercely and courageously will rise up, not only for themselves, not only for their family and for their own nations, but all nations, because you're about to set captive free. And in God, that in the Old Testament, you use Moses, but in the New Testament, you are using your church. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, breathe on us and empower us today and this precious church today. And help them, Lord, to know exactly what to do, where to go, and how to minister to your lost people as Muslims, and how to bring these people out of their captivity.